Well, welcome everybody. For those of you who don't know, I'm also Pastor Mike, Mike Niebauer. My family and I have been coming here for almost since the beginning and have just loved being here, part of Trinity Burke. I help run our worship service at Sunrise on Tuesday mornings, and a lot of my vocation is really helping other churches do that kind of ministry around the country. So I'm glad to be your substitute teacher for today. So treat me better than you would a substitute teacher in high school. Before moving here, we lived in my hometown, State College, Pennsylvania. And one of the best parts about living there was hiking, because it was in the middle of nowhere, it was right in the mountains, and all the mountains were state game lands. If you wanted to go for a hike, you just kind of picked a mountain and drove to it and started hiking up. But my favorite path was this one in a place called Shingletown Gap, and it ran along this great creek bed. And when you started out the hike, on the left-hand side was this like massive rock formation. And you know, every time I walk by it, you just think, wow, how long have those stones been there? They've been there for, you know, probably since before human beings walked the earth, right? They're these great, beautiful things. And one time, as I walked past them, I eventually made my way up the mountain, and I decided, rather than taking the normal path down, I was going to take an alternative path down the mountain, which, when you hear the words alternative path, that just means getting lost. So, of course, I start making my way down, and I lose any sort of semblance of a trail, and all of a sudden, I am just on all of these rocks. And I'm tripping, and I know there's rattlesnakes up there. You know, it's getting a bit treacherous. And eventually, I make my way down, and I realize I'm kind of on this rock cliff. And I don't know if this has ever happened to you. I get to the point where I realize I can't go back up the way I came because it's kind of too steep, and there aren't any footholds. But then I look down, and it's like a 15-foot drop onto some more rocks. And I pause, and like I pull out my cell phone, and like there's no cell phone reception, and you know, I'm just thinking to myself, man, this is a really dumb way to go. But you know, I just sort of grit my teeth and I jump and I do the, you know, action hero roll at the bottom, and I bruise up my shoulder pretty bad, but you know, I survived, right? But obviously, you learn this lesson here today, right? You've got these beautiful stone formations. They're strong, they're sturdy, but they're also pretty treacherous, right? Now, in our gospel reading today, and really all of our scripture readings are all about stones, right? Did you catch that thread throughout each of them? And particularly in our gospel reading today, it talks about Jesus calling himself the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Now, when Jesus says this, he's drawing on a whole host of biblical references to stones, which his audience would have known. In the Old Testament, you know, the Garden of Eden is built on a mountain of onyx and bdellium. Later on, you've got the Tower of Babel, which is made by bricks, which are man-made stones. And the temple in Jerusalem is made of stones. The end of the Bible, Mount Zion, rests on these precious stones like gold and diamonds. So when Jesus is calling himself the chief cornerstone, he's not just kind of making a simple metaphor. He's drawing on all of these references to stones in Scripture and showing how all of them, in fact, even all the stones in the world that we see in nature, all of them have their fulfillment, their deepest meaning in him. So what I want to do today is look at some of the qualities of stone and to talk about what stones symbolize in Scripture. In turn, it'll show us a little bit more about who Jesus is. So I want to suggest to you that stones symbolize three things in Scripture: judgment, foundations, and worship. So stones symbolize judgment, foundations, and worship. So So first, stones are symbols of judgment. They are hard and blunt, and as I found out on that hike, pretty jagged as well. It's a really easy way to get injured, is to trip on a stone or fall on a stone. And so in the Bible, stones are signs of judgment and punishment. In the Old Testament law, certain crimes were punishable by death, and specifically death by stoning. Somebody commits murder, they take them out of the community, and they throw stones at them until they die. Stones are, you know, they're a sign of capital punishment. The way that if we saw an electric chair today, we would think of capital punishment. The Israelites would see stones and think about judgment and punishment. Now, in our gospel passage today, just before Jesus talks about himself as a stone and cornerstone, he gives a parable about judgment. The owner of a vineyard went away, left some people in charge, and the workers want to take over the vineyard. So eventually they seize the son of the owner and kill him in order to take over the vineyard, but the owner returns and he destroys these vineyard workers. And so the message of the parable is a pretty simple one, right? Those who reject the son will be destroyed. And so Jesus says he is the Son of God, and he is a stone whom if people reject will be crushed. Now, of course, this is a challenging saying of Jesus, but it's an appropriate one for this season of Lent, because Lent is this season in which we focus on repentance of our own sin, so that our hearts might be prepared for the good news of the cross of Christ on Good Friday. And Lent is this time in which we realize that apart from the mercy of Christ, those stones of judgment are our fate as well. So we contemplate the hard rock of Christ's judgment to kind of quicken our hearts, to nudge us to get our acts together, to repent and earnestly draw near to Christ. One of the ways we can think about the judgment of Christ is think about what happens when you're driving your car and then all of a sudden you look up and you see a cop car on the side of the road. You know, what do? You slam on the brakes, and all of a sudden you were spacing out and thinking about all these different things. All of a sudden you slam the brakes, you look at your speedometer, you look at, well, how fast am I going? Am I in a school zone? You all of a sudden you are alert to everything around you because of this one little black and white car on the road. In a similar way, we can go out and see a stone anywhere and think of Jesus' judgment, and it's a moment to pump the brakes, right? To hit stop and say, what's going on in my life? Are there areas of sin that are festering? Are there parts of my walk with Christ that I'm just neglecting? Lent is this incredible time to contemplate the hard judgment of Christ, to make us stop and to become alert to the ways in which we need to repent. So stones are symbols of judgment. Stones are also symbols of foundations. Because stones are hard, they are great places to build buildings. You know, it's great around here. You can find all these colonial era homes, and you can see the stone foundations, and it's the same stones that were laid hundreds of years ago. When we were buying our first home, my dad tears down buildings. He operates bulldozers, and so he can really tell what a good foundation is, what kind of house will last. And so, nervous buying my first home, having my father look at it, come to the basement, see the foundation, and say, this is a sturdy house. It's built well. It's built to last. It gave me a lot of confidence. Now, Jesus says here that he is our cornerstone. And that's an architectural reference. That's the keystone from which the foundation for which sturdy buildings are built. So what Jesus is saying is that when he calls himself the cornerstone, that he should be the foundation of our life. That if we build our lives around Jesus, they will be lives that last. And if we try to ground our life on anything else, it's like building on clay or sand. Things will erode. And so, you know, Lent, it's this great time to just to ask ourselves that. Is Jesus, you know, really the foundation of our lives? Obviously, I think it's really easy for us to take a lot of the good things of the world, but make them foundational for our life. Right? Friends, family, comfort, good food, vacations, retirement. These are all really good things. But if we make them the foundation of our existence, our emotional state will go all up and down, because all of these things are temporary things. They don't quite last. Friends move, family gets sick, financial stability maybe is not always there. I think this is always a great week to think about whether Jesus is our foundation. When the stock market loses 10% of its value, you're thinking about your retirement. Are your emotions kind of going up and down with the stock market? It's this sign that perhaps our foundation is being built on sand. In contrast, Jesus says, when our lives are built on him, he is a strong rock, a castle that will keep us eternally safe. We know Jesus will last when nothing else on this earth will last. And this can give us great hope and comfort, that if we place our hope and our foundation in Christ the cornerstone, we have nothing to fear when other things erode in our lives. So stones are signs of judgment. They're symbols of foundations. Lastly, stones are signs of worship. Because stones are sturdy, they are usually used by civilizations to build their most important structures. So, from Stonehenge to Easter Island to medieval castles, you see these great structures that were built with stone, and they're meant to be places of worship. In the Old Testament, stone in particular are symbols of really two different buildings. Babel, the Tower of Babel, and the temple. The Tower of Babel is a symbol of false worship. Human beings, they take stone and they crush it, and then they turn it into brick, and then they use it to build a tower to glorify themselves. So the stones of Babel are a sign of people worshiping themselves. And you contrast that with the temple, which is supposed to be this place of uniquely where the Israelites can come and encounter God's presence in a place where they can't encounter it anywhere else in the world. Now the problem is, as you read through scripture, you know that this holy temple becomes corrupted. False idols are brought in, priests don't really do their jobs well, there's hypocrisy. And that's the backdrop of our gospel reading today. You notice throughout the Gospels, Jesus will be very critical of the temple, and he'll call it actually a temple built with man-made stones. And when he says this, he's essentially calling the temple the Tower of Babel. He says this temple is no longer a place where God is uniquely worshipped and encountered. But Jesus says something really incredible. He says that his body is the temple. And that those who come to Jesus can encounter the very presence of God in worship in ways even greater than the great temple in Jerusalem. So in our epistle reading today from Peter, Peter says something pretty amazing. He says that we are living stones built to be the temple of God with Jesus as our foundation. What he's saying there is that each one of us are kind of vessels of worship. And so that when we come together to gather for church, it's like the great temple of Jerusalem is built again, temporarily here in this place. And God is uniquely encountered in worship in ways that are even more spectacular than the tabernacle and temple in the Old Testament. And this is actually the main reason we go to church. We go to church not just to, you know, hear a good Bible teaching, that's really important, to have fellowship with other people. We go to church because it is actually our goal in life, above all, to worship God. And when we come together, we build God's temple in a unique way that can't be replicated anywhere else. And we do that so that we might worship God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So this tells us, though, that as we are living stones, it's really important that we gather together regularly and often. That if we don't go to church, it's like a big cathedral missing stones. The worship of God is weakened. Encountering Christ in worship in the church should be our highest priority, that which we build the rest of our lives around. My mom's hometown is this steel mill town called Johnstown, and Johnstown at one point had the most churches per city block in the country. And the reason for that is all these different immigrant groups came over to work in the steel mills, and they all built their own churches. So the Germans built their Lutheran church, the Serbians built the Serbian Orthodox church, the Italians built their Italian Catholic church, the Slovakians built their Slovakian Catholic church, and you can go sort of on and on, each one of these groups. What's interesting is that most of these churches were actually built by the members of the church themselves. So if you could imagine working in a steel mill 6 days a week, sometimes 10-hour days, one day off a week, and what do you do on that day off? Well, you go to church in the morning, and then you build a giant stone building with the rest of your time. That's pretty incredible, right? It tells you the importance that these immigrants placed on the body of Christ, encountering Christ in worship. You know me, I work 5 hours a day and decidedly not a backbreaking labor kind of job. But are those encounters with Christ in worship really that much of a priority for me all the time? I'm not sure. So the challenge for us when we think about Christ, the cornerstone, the foundation of this living temple, it's a real challenge to us, isn't it? Is worship a real priority for us? Is this living temple place where we want to be more than anywhere else on earth? Or would we rather be someplace else, worshiping something else? So I want to encourage you all today. God has given us all these stones all around us, and he's given them to us to remind us of Jesus. Of Jesus, this stone of judgment, but also Jesus is this great cornerstone, a castle to keep us safe, and the foundation, the temple of worship. So anytime you see stones, it's an opportunity to contemplate Jesus Christ. When you look at a rock on the street or you trip over it, think about Jesus as this stone of judgment. It's the season of Lent. Contemplate the hard judgment of Jesus and just pump the brakes on your life for a second. Take a look around. See if there's any areas in need of repentance. Jesus is our cornerstone, our foundation. So when you see a stone foundation of some old building this week, ask yourself, is Jesus that sturdy foundation of your life? Or are you building your life around something that's built of sand that will wash away? Finally, Jesus is the stone, the cornerstone through which we gather for worship. We are living stones of his church. So when you see stones this week, ask yourself, are you living into your calling as a living stone? Do you desire more than anything else to come and build the house of the Lord each week? So as you encounter stones all around you this week, contemplate Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, a stumbling block to the proud, but an everlasting rock, a castle to keep those safe who know and love him. Thanks be to God. Amen.